Are you ready, Alabama?
Knox with a response at the other end. And Kentucky gets out of Morgantown with an 83-76 win, their first road win against a top 10 opponent.
It's time to enter the doghouse.
Murray to Harper to Dunbar! And this one was over about 5 minutes in.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Into the low post to Jones. Curve with a flush. Hit Bama leads by a dozen with 2 minutes to go. Bama inbounds it, and the tide has rolled to a huge win over 12th-ranked Oklahoma. 80-73, your final, as the Tide meets a top 20 team in Tuscaloosa for the third time this year.
Here he is, the head of the household, the big dog, Tom Abraham.
Barr surrounded down the seam for a touchdown. Delaney Walker, the Tennessee Titans. And now the AFC is an extra point away from its first lead of the game.
Now, it's Reaction Monday in the doghouse.
I got to give Tony Mack some credit with that. I got to believe that that's the first time in a 20-year history of the Tom Abraham show that a Pro Bowl highlight has made it into the show. I'm just saying. I mean, he had slim pickings to work with, right? I mean, what are you working with, you know, over this past weekend in the sports world? So I get that. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the first time a Pro Bowl highlight ever got in there. I bet DA got a chuckle out of that. Damon Amendola, CBS Sports Radio, joining us from, I think, the Mall of the Americas. I believe that Radio Row is set up at the food court at the Mall of the Americas. I'm not sure, but he joins us now on a Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. DA, welcome in. How are you?
Thank you very much, Big Doug. Doing well. I'm no longer at Mall of America, but I will be doing my show there. Did my show there today from there.
Set the scene for us a little bit, will you? Because, you know, always fascinated a little bit by Radio Row. A lot of times in a hotel or it's in a ballroom somewhere, but I actually think that this is a really kind of a cool idea, great way to mingle with fans and have them be able to kind of watch you guys in a bit of a fishbowl.
Yeah, it's not bad. You know, the last couple of years this has been the new idea, the new concept by the NFL of the set up Radio Row in public areas where at a convention center or whatnot, people can actually drop by and see you and fans can walk by and watch the radio shows going on. So this is not the new concept. The new concept is it's never been in a mall and it's never been in a food court. Apparently all the things that they used to do or they have done in the past for the convention center and the NFL experience have to be moved indoors because it's so darn cold around here. So all of that stuff that was outdoors at Houston had to be moved indoors. Thus we are doing our shows from Radio Row in a food court of the mall, but hey, it helps out a lot of the media just looking for another lunch. So makes our life easier, I suppose.
How are they handling security? Because, I mean, there's a lot of celebrities that are on. Well, first of all, there's a lot of you guys who are media celebrities as well. But, I mean, there are a lot of athletes and so on that come down there and so on. And I know that that became a problem at SEC Media Days where they had to finally kind of close off the media row from the fans because if these coaches came down or some of their players, it was just a nightmare. I mean, it would clog up the whole thing. What do they do in terms of, you know, kind of keeping the people away from the actual sets?
They have like a little barrier, so you couldn't get past this little like waist-high barrier unless you had a credential. And so they've got checkpoints for the credentials to get in there. But again, that's only about waist high. So you've got fans in this spot, in this area. This has been different from different convention centers in the past. But for this one, I mean, people from the mall and the food court can be literally 6 to 8 inches away from a host that is on that side of the row. Our set is actually set back against the railing, which is the open side. We can look down the two floors from the third floor to the first floor, so there's no fans on that side. But for those that are set up on that front row, I mean, you are – when the Eagles fans finally come into town in a couple of days,
yeah,
it's going to be a war zone on Radio Row.
Yeah, that sounds a little spooky. At least at the SEC Media Days, they have you, everybody's back is to a wall. So, you know, if anybody does come down through, it's all right in front of you. And by the way, I know what a fan you are of the SEC and of college football. And after 18 years or something like that at the Galleria in Hoover, Alabama, right near the home offices of the SEC, next year's SEC Media Days, next July, are going to originate from the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta. So I really encourage you, if you were ever going to come down for SEC Media Days, and of course the SEC on CBS TV is such a big deal that, you know, maybe you could convince your muckety mucks to send you to SEC Media Days in Atlanta at the College Football Hall of Fame for 3 days. That would be cool.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I love that idea. And as you said, with the natural SEC on CBS time, I might be able to make that thing work. That's a great backdrop.
Yeah, I'm just throwing that. I'm just putting that out there now. You know what I'm saying? And there's a ton of all your SEC or all your CBS guys are there. You know. So they're all of those guys come down there, and it's always really good. Damon Amendola with us here. All right, can you sense a vibe at all around Minnesota? I mean, Minneapolis, is there a funk that? Damn, we're holding somebody else's party. They were so close to hosting this thing. Is there a calmness or kind of a funk over the area, or is it something that's not really noticeable?
I think that there is a bittersweetness here. I think that the Twin Cities very proud to be hosting this game for the first time since January 92. So you're talking about more than 25 years, and they're very, very proud of the new stadium, as well they should be. It looks gorgeous. There's naturally a real pride that goes along with this, but there's a bittersweetness because they know how close they were to having the Vikings here. And you see a lot of Viking stuff around where we were on Radio Row today, Mall of America, a lot of Vikings fans around still wearing their stuff, but, kind of a down vibe that, man, so close. And it's very hard for a lot of those Vikings fans to root for the Eagles. And so it's the worst of all situations, I think, for Minnesota football fan. They love having the games here. They love showing off, and it really is a great city. I've been here a couple of times before, and day one has been fantastic already, but nobody wants the Patriots because they're here every year, and it's like rooting for IBM, and then nobody around here wants the Eagles because they thrash the Vikings, so it's a tough sell right now for them.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be a little bit of a tough sell, and it would be a tough sell two for a guy that's a lifelong Giants fan like you, because you hate the Patriots because they've been there so many times, and it's the Eagles, you know, which is one of the Giants' arch enemies. So, you know, what does a talk show host? I mean, I know that we're all objective now, and we're in the business, and we don't have favorite teams, and I think that's all BS. I personally can't watch anything without having a rooting interest. I picked one of the four divisions, the Central Division, in the NHL All-Star Game. I got to have a rooting interest, and I'm on the Eagles here. So are you able to root for either of these teams, or are you just being like big media pro?
Oh, I'm pulling for the Eagles hard. And it doesn't matter any Giants or Eagles rivalry, man.
Nice.
I am just so tired of the Patriots. I just think it's been too much for too long. And, I really, as I've grown and matured as a sports fan, really now one of the big things I root for is beating up fan bases. I just have so much sympathy. And maybe it's because of a New York Mets fan and a Syracuse fan that I'm so used to getting beaten down that I love the idea of fan redemption. And look, the fan base that needs to be redeemed right now is the Eagles. I mean, the Philadelphia's never won a Super Bowl. They haven't had a football championship since 1960. They've only had one sports championship out of the four major sports since 1983. That was the 08 Phillies. I mean, this is not exactly a city that is used to winning much. So I would love to see the city of Philadelphia finally break through. And I would love to see if that city gets lit on fire if Eagles fans actually win and want to celebrate.
Yeah. Now, speaking of professionalism, now you wouldn't, regardless of how you feel about the Patriots, and their entire, kingdom that they've built here in the NFL and their domination of the Super Bowl in the last several years, you're not stooping to the level of this Alex Reimer clown at WEEI, right? I mean, you're not going to call Tom Brady's 5-year-old daughter a pissant on the radio, are you? Because Brady just basically bailed on Kurt and Callahan. You know that market really well. I mean, is this just another radio stunt type of thing with these people, or is it that brutal there that they're calling Brady's kids names?
I would call a lot of people a lot of names. but kids get taken out of it. And anybody under the age of 10 is taken out of it, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think anybody under the age of probably 18 is taken out of it. Yeah, it's a low blow, man. But you know, part of the reason that Boston is very difficult to stomach for a lot of people, and I really had a great time, and I still have great friends up there and really love my time, but it is so aggressive of a city. It's an aggressive city. It's an aggressive media market. It's an aggressive fan base. It's just aggressive. It's really a fist to the face on a daily basis, and the media reflects that. And so it's almost like nothing is off limits. I mean, there was the story from my old station, 95 The Sports, over the afternoon show there, kind of making light of Roy Halladay and his plane crash. And,
saying he deserved
and this and that. And that was the other radio station, but it was sports radio as well. And that was in the last couple of months. It's just an aggressive, aggressive market. And it goes too far sometimes, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I would agree with that part of it. But and characterize the town, because I tried to tell people this years ago, and I don't know if it's true anymore, but I remember after like the first or second or third time the Patriots won the Super Bowl, they had their parade, and during their victory parade in Boston, a Yankee suck chant went up. And it's such a baseball town that they can't resist. No matter what, it always comes back to the baseball. Do you think that's changed somewhat now that the Red Sox have won a couple of World Series and so on? Do you think it's evened out, or is it still a Red Sox town first and foremost? And, yeah, this is really cool what the Patriots are doing.
Everything changed, Big Dog. It's a really good question. Everything has changed over the last 5 to 7 years. Remember, the New England Patriots actually won their first Super Bowl 3 years before the Red Sox finally broke through in 2004. So the Patriots are kind of credited as the organization that changed the culture of a losing city into a winning city. Before the Patriots won in 2001, the last team to win in Boston was 1986, and that was the Boston Celtics. It was known as, you know, kind of a city of heartbreak, and the Red Sox continued to do that. The Celtics were no good at that time. The Bruins hadn't won since the 70s, and then the Patriots broke through in 2001, 2003, and 2004, and that kind of everybody kind of looks at that as the organization that changed the culture from a losing city into a winning city. Now, though, to 2 points, the 20-year success, basically, of the Patriots has changed everything, because there are fans that are in their mid-20s to even 30s that don't remember a time where the Patriots weren't Super Bowl contenders or champions. And so you have an entire generation of fans that don't know a bad season in football. I mean, the Red Sox have been in last place a couple of times in between these championships. The Bruins obviously have been up and down. Even the Celtics have gone through a rebuild. There are 25-year-old people in Boston that don't ever remember an 8-8 season in football. So that changed everything. Also, they're the glamour organization because of Tom Brady, because of all the winning, because of what football's become. And that last championship for the Red Sox in 2013, I want to say it was, really was just kind of a bonus championship in World Series that nobody really expected coming. John Farrell has since gotten the axe, and it was just kind of out of nowhere. And I think that almost placated fans to the point where the Red Sox don't really need to win. And it's changed everything. You know, I love Boston sports from the 1990s when I began going up there, because it was so desperate. It was so needed. It was so intense. It was so great. There was a real level of humility and reality and everything. And now it's just out of control because they've won so much. I mean, if you would have told a longtime Sox fan in 2003, they're going to win 3 championships over the next 10 years to the point where most of the city doesn't, you know, there's no angst anymore about it. They say, you're crazy. I mean, it took nearly 100 years to win one. So it's Patriots first, second, and third. And there's just, it's not even close right now. It really isn't. And it'll take a long time before the Sox get to that level, because now there's a generation of fans that, again, are used to 3 titles for the Red Sox. So it's hard to ever get that urgency back.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And, you know, I always used to chide the Sox fans when I would talk about, you know, how long it had been since the Yankees had won a championship. But I'd say like now, I mean, look, I got grandkids that are 6, 7 years old that have never seen a Yankees championship. You know, the Sox fans, I always talk about, you know, my grandfather, he was born, raised, and died, never saw the Sox. When I go, yeah, I got grandkids that are, you know, 6 years old that haven't seen a championship yet. I don't know what they're going to do.
But that's the deal now with Sox fans. They can say, you know, I've got a grandkid who's 3 years old that hasn't seen a championship. You know, there are kids that are 20 years old again. And that's when you really develop your fandom, I think, in your teenage years, maybe just before that, that are only used to every team in town having parades. And that changed everything, I think, in that city.
Right. You mix in a 2011, I think, Stanley Cup with the Bruins even. I mean, everything, every sport they've got wins. I don't know how the Revolution are. Are they any good in the MLS? I don't know if their soccer team's any good.
They're the one thing that's been stuck out like a sore thumb, except they went to a bunch of MLS Cup finals. So they're basically the Buffalo Bills. They've gone to the finals but never actually closed the door.
David Mendolaro with us. Yeah, it'll be interesting because Philly, I mean, you got to admit, these fan bases, if you were ranking them overall, just like these two the four defenses that were in the final four of the NFL playoffs were in the top five defensively in the entire NFL. If you were to rank these two fan bases, who would Chicago fans maybe? I mean, this Philadelphia and Boston fan base for professional sports has got to be two of the three or four, New York, Chicago, most passionate professional sports fan bases in all of sport, no?
Yeah, they wear it on their sleeves, man. And in some ways, I think that they might even be more intense than in New York, because in New York, remember, you got to pick an allegiance to one of the two teams. And so it's a civil war at all times. But these two cities, everybody in the city is on the same page, which is what I always thought going to Boston and working there made it so special, is that everybody pulled in the same direction. I was never used to that, because in New York, you know, your Giants fans hate Jets fans, and Mets fans make fun of Yankees fans and vice versa, and Knicks fans and Nets fans and the three hockey teams. Nobody's ever on the same page. There's never a unification, but in Boston, everybody pulls in the same direction. Same, obviously, in Philadelphia as well. They got all four teams. So these really are two of the best fan-based cities that we have in the U.S., some of the great sports cities. But, I think Boston is going to become way more interesting as a sports city once they go through another generation where they didn't win, because I think it's tough for a lot of people to not just expect to win everything. And once you just start expecting to win everything, you lose a little bit of something there. You lose that desperation, then you just become, you know, the arrogance that's kind of hard to stomach.
Well, the most obnoxious of all Patriot fans are the ones that are saying that, you know, it's time for a blowout in the Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
You know, for the ones that are saying, you know, we've been through all of this. So, you know, we're owed a blowout in the Super Bowl. Just shut the hell up, okay? Yeah, you're owed nothing when it comes to that. Pete Prisco did an interesting piece at CBSSports.com ranking the talent on these two teams. And, you know, outside of a 40-year-old quarterback and Tom Brady and a concussed Rob Gronkowski, then he's got like seven of the next eight, you know, best position players in this game are actually Philadelphia Eagles. That's a pretty interesting thing in a game that is in a sport that is so much a team sport. There are a lot of reasons here to really like the Eagles in this football game. Wouldn't you see, the more that you dig into it, and yes, Brady is special, we get that. What's he going to do, sprinkle, you know, fairy dust on the game? But, you know, there are a lot of reasons here that this Eagle team is just super depth with a lot of really good football players.
I think that's maybe the most underrated and undertold story of the game, and maybe that changes over the course of the week where we have more time to delve into the actual matchups. But as Prisco wrote and you just cited, you know, the depth of the talent is actually out of Philadelphia. Now, if Gronk plays, the two best players on the field are going to be both the Patriots. It's going to be Gronk and it's going to be Brady. But, you know, the depth of the defense that the Eagles bring is better than the Patriots. I think the offensive line of the Eagles is better than the Patriots. I think the skill position guys outside of Gronk better than the Patriots, so maybe a better complement in Philadelphia. And, you know, the Eagles, had they had Carson Wentz, I think everybody would feel so much differently about this matchup. But obviously they don't. And simply because of Nick Foles and a lack of recognition by the rest of the team, because they're not superstars, people are not giving them much of a shot. And I think that's really a mistake, because the Eagles didn't get here by virtue of a Cinderella season. They didn't get here by virtue of a fluke win here or there. They got here because they're maybe the most balanced team in football, you know, and it's that's not a mistake. And I think at the very least, they really keep this thing close, and I'm telling you this right now, there's a lot of Patriots fans and a lot of Patriots media that I'm hearing already talking about you know, is this even going to be a game? I mean, you know, and I'm going, is this even going to be a game? I mean, it's hard not to say that the Eagles top to bottom are the better football team. They just don't have the quarterback and the, you know, and the penchant for winning. But
well,
I think there's every reason to believe this is a good game.
Well, and if it's a 4.5-point spread right now, you wonder, with Carson Wentz, is it a 1-point game? Is it a pick'em game? But the deal is, even though you can't expect, you know, past performance doesn't guarantee future results, but Nick Foles, I mean, this dude here, only quarterback in NFL history to record a 100-plus passer rating in each of his first three career postseason starts. Carson Wentz could not have played any better than what Nick Foles did in the NFC Championship game, a 141 rating. It just, he was perfect. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to continue to go that way, but this isn't some schlock that they got in here. I mean, this guy here, his performance has been uncanny. A lot of that might be Doug Peterson. A lot of that might be Frank Reich even. Another guy was a backup that went and started a Super Bowl. But, you know, I just think that we're treating Nick Foles like he's garbage, and all the guy has done is had three great postseason games.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that NFC Championship game, at least for me, changed everything, because what I saw him, the throws that he made against the best defense in football, was staggering. I mean, he just picked them apart like nobody had all season long. And I think one of the things about Foles is there's a little element of Eli Manning to him, a little element of Joe Flacco, and that is that kind of unflappability, even though the pressure is ratcheted up. And I think those are the perfect kind of guys to go against the Patriots, the perfect kind of guys to lead you to a Super Bowl when nobody expects much, is that they don't put too much pressure on themselves. They don't get caught up in trash talk or disrespect this or chip on my shoulder that, which might make you play outside of your comfort level. Foles is just kind of being here, and it feels so much like Eli in those two games against the Patriots that you just couldn't get him engaged in any type of disrespect talk. And I think that's kind of the perfect way to do it. Now, if Nick Foles plays like he did in the NFC Championship game, the Eagles are winning. I don't know if you could ever expect that, but I do think it's totally unfair to believe that there's no way he can do that again, because, as you mentioned, you know, Foles is, when the chips have been down, has gotten the job done when the Eagles needed him.
He doesn't have to be that guy. He just has to be a guy that's not, you know, he just doesn't have to have a, you know, he can't have an awful game, but he hasn't shown us an awful game in these situations. The stage is not too big for him, I think. So it'll be interesting. All right, before I let you go, the last note that I think is a thing, Tom Brady, right, led the NFL 4,577 yards passing this year. Nobody, including Brady, we've had Manning, Brady, Gannon, Kurt Warner, and Dan Marino all go to the Super Bowl having thrown the most yards in the NFL. None of them could win the Super Bowl. It goes to a lack of balance. Does that number mean anything?
I think it does. I actually led my show with that stat today because I think it's significant. And if you look back at all of those quarterbacks you just mentioned and the ways they lost the Super Bowl, they all lost to very good defenses. And so what it tells you is, if you bring a great defense against a great quarterback, the great defense still always wins, and it always has, and it always will. Now, I'm not saying that the Eagles are a great defense, but it also suggests that, as you just alluded to, if you're overly reliant on one side of the football, specifically the pass, it can come back and bite you. And the 84 Dolphins team was, the Rich Gannon team was, the 07 Patriots, you know, once you got that pressure on Brady, once the Seahawks got the pressure on Peyton Manning in 2013, everything fell apart. And I think that's going to be another key. And that's the thing. The Eagles have the type of pass rush that can do it. Easier said than done. Brady's amazing. He's a Hall of Famer. He's got five rings for a reason. But I do think that's a significant number, because it's not like these all happened back in the day. This is, I think it was six different instances that date back from 1984 to now. And between those years, 1984 to now, are the offensive era where quarterbacks are given more leash than they ever have been.
Damon Amendola, CBS Sports Radio, has been our guest. All right, tell your guys now, start planting the seed. It's like mid-July, College Football Hall of Fame, SEC Media Days. It's good stuff. I'd love to see you there. And we'll look forward to talking again after the Super Bowl.
I'd love to see it, man. It would be way better than 12 degrees here in Minnesota in February. So.
No, it's no. Have you been to the College Football Hall of Fame yet?
I have not. No, it's one of my bucket list items.
Yeah, it is for me too, and I'm right around the corner from there. And I'm in Atlanta all the time, and I keep missing getting over there. I went to the one in South Bend before they moved it from South Bend, and that was fascinating. This is supposed to be, you know, 10 times better, so I can't wait to see it then, if not sooner. All right, man, appreciate you. Enjoy your week there at the food court. You know, try the Chinese. It's really good over there, and you know, you can kind of go from window to window.
All right, thanks, Big Dog.
All right, man, appreciate you. I always go to the little Chinese joint at the food court. The little guy would be standing there, you know, with a toothpick. He'd be like, here, you know, try this piece of chicken. I'm like, all right. Let's get a break. When we come back, Teresa Walker. We'll get the latest on what's going on with this Titans staff. They hired the quarterback coach to the stars. We'll see what he's got for Marcus Mariota. It's Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039, The Ump.
W-U-M-P Sports Radio. The Op.
Monday morning, Tom Luganville talked XFL. Joel Cordes talked NBA. Kendall Simmons and Aaron Taylor, two former NFL offensive linemen, gave us their Super Bowl experiences. Tuesday morning, we welcome in Alex Shane to talk Patriots. Barrett Salee talks SEC football. Mike Griffith talks Tennessee Volunteers. Ryan Clark, former NFL safety. Sonny Smith talks Auburn basketball. And Barry Switzer, Super Bowl champion head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, join us right here, 6 to 10 a.m. on UMP Sports.
Escape into the world of fine dining with relaxing music. Luciano in Huntsville. Fine Italian dining since 1994. Featuring Chef Matt Martin's delectable fresh daily specials in addition to traditional Italian favorites. Luciano features Huntsville's only piano bar and live jazz on the weekends. Featuring Frank Sinatra and Roberta Silva, as well as many other talents. The perfect ambiance for a wonderful and unique dining experience. Luciano also provides the most beautiful room for banquets, receptions, and private meetings. Reservations are recommended for weekends and holidays. Luciano, a fine Italian restaurant located on Airport Road in Huntsville. And we like saving you money. So this Friday, get your $50 gift certificate for $25 with a sweet deal of the week. The half price deal never tasted so good. Friday morning at 9. Log on and click on the sweet deal and get a $50 gift certificate to Luciano for only $25. UmpSports.com.
This is the voice of the Crimson Tide, Eli Gold. Jalen Hurts, straight drop, under pressure, steps up. He'll run 25, 20. He is going to run 15, 10. He's going to run 5. He is in. Touchdown! 30 yards for the true freshman. He takes this team on his shoulders and runs it in. When I'm in North Alabama, I'm turning it to 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Roll Tide.
Major key alert. Don't ever play yourself. Life is like school. You will be tested. So pass it.
Learn the real major keys to getting to college at GetSchooled.com.
Stay focused. Now that's a major key alert.
Brought to you by Get Schooled and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor. And I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts. My joints ache. And sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed. High. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Think fast. In less than 30 seconds, a small flame can become a big fire. Don't let your world go up in smoke. Have working smoke alarms and always stay in the kitchen when cooking at high temperatures. Learn more at usfa.fema.gov because fire is everyone's fight.
Friday, February 23rd and Saturday, February 24th. Let your imagination come alive with the Rocket City Storytelling Festival in Huntsville, featuring storytellers and singer-songwriters Michael Reno Harrell, Kim Whitecamp, and Andy Ovid Irwin provide nationally acclaimed award-winning entertainment. Weekend tickets available at trinityhsv.org/storytelling. The Rocket City Storytelling Festival, February 23rd and 24th. Call 883-3200 or trinityhsv.org.
Sweet deals, sports news, schedules, and everything else that's going on in the Tennessee Valley is right there at HumpSports.com. You need to save that on your favorites tab. Or make it your homepage, HumpSports.com. I'm not going to spoil it for you, HumpSports.com.
Weather is sponsored by CC's. Now at CC's, you can order your own personal pizza. There's thousands of ways to customize it your way, including with your buffet. Just five and some change at CC's. Dine in only. Price may vary. Restrictions may apply.
The weather turning colder tonight. The sky clear, the low at 26. For tomorrow, a good supply of sunshine, the high 44. Wednesday, sunny and warmer, the high 56. Then for Thursday, the sky becoming mostly cloudy, a chance of rain by late afternoon, the high Thursday at 59. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Wipe your paws. It's time to enter the doghouse.
Well, the NFL is going to spin it that the Pro Bowl ratings actually increased from a 4.6 last year to a 5.9 this year, going up 28%. Hey, hip hip hooray for the Pro Bowl. Except for this year, it was also on ABC. And when it's on ABC, it's always going to get a bigger number. A much bigger number, to be quite honest with you. All right, joining us now, Teresa Walker from the AP to tell us how the staff is starting to shape up for the Titans, and Mike Vrabel. T-Dub, welcome in. How are you?
Tom?
We got her now. Can you hear me, T-Dub?
Can you hear me?
Okay. Oh, there you are. Okay, now I got you.
Did you
enjoy the Pro Bowl yesterday, or did you just kind of like skip in and out of it?
Pro Bowl was yesterday? I was watching the NHL All-Star game.
So was I.
And, you know, I flipped over a teensy bit, but I'll be honest, I kind of monitored the Pro Bowl on social media and watched of sports that I watched yesterday. It was the All-Star game.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I watched a lot of the All-Star game as well. You know, and I think the thing is that the NHL – does that 3-on-3 in overtime. So that looks like something that we see at an NHL hockey game, whereas what I was watching in the Pro Bowl is nothing like real football. I mean, it was touch football. I couldn't believe how quick the whistles were, and it was kind of embarrassing, except for the last couple of minutes of the game, you know, when the AFC went down and scored a touchdown on the pass to Delanie Walker.
Well, exactly. I mean, and there at the end, it was great, and you could tell that it meant something to the AFC to come back, because when Delanie caught that ball, you know, as I saw on videos posted on social media later, that, you know, that guys were running up to him. They were happy, you know, that in that moment, you know, they won $32,000 that they weren't exactly counting on at that moment. So, it was fun. And when you get a finish like that, then yeah, it was exciting. Unfortunately, there was also turnovers, rain. It was a little sloppy, and it was an interesting game.
I almost thought that the NFL was going to call it off the way they treat that thing. I thought once it started raining, you know, the next thing you know, they'll be calling the deal off. But luckily, they didn't do that. Teresa Walker with us here. All right, so a lot of eyes paying attention to the coaching hires that are happening with the Titans. Still no movement on offensive or defensive coordinator front. Is that correct?
Well, I think there's some movement, but there's not been any announcements. They're not saying anything. I mean, shoot, there's been talk. Urban Meyer released a statement wishing Kerry Coombs, you know, luck as he moves into the NFL, and he seems to be somebody who's leaving Ohio State to come join the Titans. But, you know, it looks like they're waiting to, I don't know if they're wanting to make sure that the all the T's are crossed and the I's dotted before they announce anything, but there has not been one addition that has been confirmed yet by the Titans. You know, now Dean Pisa, who had retired as defensive coordinator with the Ravens, his name is surfacing for, you know, as possibly the defensive coordinator with the Titans. And there's been not, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people hoping that maybe DeFilippo, the quarterback's coach with the Eagles, is somebody that Vrabel is looking at for his offensive coordinator at this moment. But, yeah, it's been very, very quiet, considering that, you know, it's been a week, and people want to know who's coming in.
Yeah, well, Kerry Coombs, from what I understand, will be coming in as a defensive backs coach. He's not a candidate to be the coordinator.
Correct. And yeah. They've got, you know, Jason Wolf and others reported that Matt O'Hara, who is, you know, he worked with some great movies.
Yeah.
you know, he's coming in to be quarterback's coach. He got an endorsement from The Rock on Twitter man. So, you know, there's a little star power coming in. But, you know, right now the names are trickling in, Tom.
Yeah, I was looking at Pat Harris, you know, the guys he's worked with, Adam Sandler, Mark Wahlberg, The Rock. That's great. You know, maybe he can get Marcus Mariota on a Hawaii 5-0. You know what I mean? He'd help him that way. I don't know. I hope he can help him. I know he played in the Arena League for a long time as well. He really didn't do much, you know, in the NFL, I don't think. But it's getting a little bit scary, I think, seeing some of these names come across. I mean, we don't know. I mean, they could all be great coaches. They could all turn out to be the next, you know, group of really good guys. But it has been kind of weird. I mean, they're also talking to another Titans assistant. He was the assistant linebackers coach for the Texans, I should say, Shane Bowen. So this would be a couple of guys coming over from that Texans staff. It's, you know, this was one of the concerns. I mean, I think it's a legit concern as to just how deep a Rolodex of guys Vrabel has, and how many assistants do you hire before you have the coordinators? Because usually the coordinators have something to say about who their staff is going to be.
True, but, you know, that might be an indication that, you know, on the defensive side, there's been an assumption that was Vrabel scaring away some defensive coordinator candidates, because, you know, he made it very clear a week ago that he would, or whenever he was announced, God, the month has flown by, Tom, but he said that, yeah, he's the head coach. He'll make, you know, he'll chime in whenever he wants to. And, you know, the perception, at least, is that he wants to have a hand in on the defense. And that might be scaring away some potential candidates. Or, you know, guess what? He might know the guys he's wanting, and yet maybe their teams, Eagles, Patriots, are still playing right now, which means he can't, you know, start announcing and signing guys at this very moment because they're busy working for their current employers. So, you know, that's the thing. And, you know, he was on local radio on Friday and said, hey, there's not a team picture on Monday. And, you know, when, you know, we'll have a staff by the time there's a team picture. So, you know, he's not panicking right now, but that's not stopping Titan fans who want to know who, you know, they made this move because they wanted to develop further Marcus Mariota and tap into his talents, you know, make this team better. And, you know, when you don't know who the guys are that are going to be doing it, it's leaving some people to start moving maybe from worry to panic.
Yeah, well, and again, because it's not like they were totally, you know, sucking under what Mike Mularkey was able to do, and at least Mike Mularkey brought a certain amount of gravitas to the table. I like them, you know, I'd almost like them better as a coordinator. I wasn't a Terry Rubisky fan, but, you know, this is a situation where you're not coming in trying to rectify a disaster. I mean, this isn't the 2-14 Titans. This is the back-to-back 9-7 playoff, win a game in the playoffs Titans. So, you know, I think there has to be something where you feel like at least that a guy you're bringing in can help get him to the next level. I think DeFilippo would be a great addition as an offensive coordinator. I know they had talked about Frank Reich at one point in time. I think that would be a lateral move for him, although he doesn't call plays there with Philadelphia. So, you know, so that would be an interesting move. But I'm just wondering where the pool of the rest of the guys are coming from, because, you know, guys out of the Big Ten and guys out of the you know, off of the deep into the Texans staff, I don't think are going to get anybody all excited.
Well, but here's the thing. You know, there's been a lot of changeover. The Titans were the seventh team in the NFL to change head coaches this year.
Right.
So there are a lot of people out there. You know, so I would advise this. Don't panic just yet. Let's judge Mike Vrabel by the staff he puts together. Though it's tough not to think back to 2011, Tom, You know, they didn't introduce Mike Munchak as head coach until February 7th. And, you know, and then he started putting his staff together. February 7th, a week from Wednesday. And, you know, the longer they go, the tougher it will be. But there are a lot of coaches out there right now that are available. And, you know, he's going to have to start, you know, hiring some more people. And eventually he'll get coordinators, right?
Yeah, well, he must, right? I mean, eventually I would think that he must have coordinators. It'll be interesting. I'm not quite as concerned about the defense, because you got to figure it's going to have his hands all over it, you know, with the defense. That's because he's coming off of his first year as a coordinator. So I think that'll be interesting. All right. Have you had a chance, now that this has gone down, have you had much contact with anybody, you know, in terms of in the locker room with the guys, in terms of how they're responding to having a guy that, you know, is you know, got a lot of juice as a player, and one that everyone remembers as a player, a young enough guy?
Well, I haven't had a chance to talk to too many guys. You know, a lot of them are on vacation. Six were in the Pro Bowl this last week down in Florida. But I'll say this, the ones that I've heard talk about it, you know, players will, you know, they have to see their guys in motion. You know, Vrabel comes off, he's a big dude. You know, he makes an impression when you meet him. But, you know, Tom, players want to see what a coach does when, you know, when it's off-season program. Once you see him at work in July and August in training camp, the ultimate test is going to come on game day. You know, how does he react to pressure when they need a head coach deciding, all right, we're going to do this right now with the clock winding down to try to win a game? You know, those are the decisions that truly define head coaches. And, you know, but 14-year career in the NFL, it certainly buys him, from the people I've heard from, you know, certainly buys some credibility.
Are you, will you be heading for South Korea here pretty soon for Winter Olympic coverage again for the AP?
I will be. I leave a week from tomorrow, so I'm going to be out of pocket over there for 3 weeks and helping cover women's hockey, and then and helping out as needed elsewhere.
Are you concerned at all about going to that part of the world with all of the with the angst and all that kind of good stuff?
With the North and South Korea agreeing to, you know, kind of merge in some athletes and have some unified teams, shoot, Tom, one of the unified teams is going to be in women's hockey. They play the second game of the Olympic tournament and preliminary play a week from Saturday, and I'll be at that game. So, you know, at least they're trying to have a little bit of peace. And, you know, I'll say this. It's the Olympics. Usually the previous four that I've gone to, there's always been concerns. And when you get there, everything works out pretty calmly.
All right, so let's see how that works. Now, you know, there's a prop out there. I think we won 28 medals. That's the only time we get to say we, for me, is if you either were an alumni of a school or if it's the U.S. So when it's the U.S. in the Olympics, it's we. I think we won 28 medals last year, or last time in the Olympics, 4 years ago in the Olympics. And there's a prop out there. You can bet who will the Patriots score more points than the U.S. will earn medals in the Olympics this year. Do we look like a pretty solid team or what?
I think so. And remember this, the U.S. is sending the largest contingent of athletes to these games, with so many Russian athletes being, you know, suspended for various doping allegations. So they're certainly going to have the most numbers to give them that chance. Yeah. And I know, you know, covering the U.S. women, they're going trying to end a 20-year medal drought when it comes to gold. They've won silver the last two times. They want gold for the first time since 98. I think their odds are good. And Tom, we had a piece this morning that I helped write for AP on Madden's EA Sports prediction for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They're predicting a score this week of 24-20, New England.
I think
they'll get more than 24 gold medals.
I'm on the Eagles to win. What about you? What do you think it's going to be? I haven't picked a score yet. I'm going to give a score tomorrow. But I'm real close to being on the. I think I'm going to pick the Eagles to win the game outright. I just think they're a better, deeper team, and I don't think Nick Foles is going to suck, because he hasn't sucked in the playoffs yet. Not this time, not the last time he was in the playoffs. Three games, three times over 100 rating. And I think they're embracing this whole underdog thing. I think the Eagles will win the game.
Tom, having seen Belichick and Brady come back from, 28-3 last year?
Yeah, can't keep living like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw them come back in Houston. I'm going to have to wait and see somebody knock them off. Not saying the Eagles can't do it, but having seen Belichick at work for so many years, I'm going to have to see it to believe it.
Yeah, that game against the Jags, I mean, they can't just keep doing this, pulling furniture out of their butts. I mean, it's one of these times they're going to get bit, and I think this will be the one. But we'll see. You know, hopefully it'll be a great game. All right, safe travels over there. Be safe. We'll look forward to you getting back, and we'll get a full report on what it was like at the Olympics, and maybe by then, maybe there'll be coordinators to talk about.
Absolutely, Tom, and they'll probably announce them while I'm in the air and on the plane and able to do a single thing.
There you go. Well, that's all right. At least they'll have them. You know, that'll be good. And hopefully they're guys that didn't just, you know, play in the Arena League or, you know, were high school coaches or something like that. Hopefully they'll have some juice. So we'll see.
We hope.
Maybe they'll get The Rock. Maybe they'll get Al Pacino, you know, because he's playing Joe Paterno. So we must know something. This is second coaching job for Al Pacino. So maybe they'll get Al Pacino to be the offensive coordinator. And then maybe for the defensive coordinator, I had a guy in mind for the defensive coordinator. I was thinking maybe Farmer Fran. We remember Farmer Fran from maybe they get that guy to be the defensive coordinator from The Waterboy.
Tom, The Rock makes too much. Amy Adams Strunk is already paying two other people not to coach this year.
That's true. True. Can't get The Rock in there. All right. Appreciate you. Safe travels.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. Thanks. Rock would be good. Farmer Fran would be a good defensive coordinator.
I get right there, come on. I'm right out.
You know, Burt Reynolds still alive?
I mean, if you go with Farmer Fran, nobody'd be able to steal his playbook. You know what I mean?
No. Rob Moore is expected to be the Titans' wide receiver coach. Rob Moore. Let's see. Where's he been coaching? He played 10 years in the NFL. Justin Conner spent the last 3 years wide receiver coach for the Raiders. All right. Okay. Well, Rob Moore. That could happen. All right, let's get a break. We'll come back and wrap this hour up next right here on 730-1039 AM.
730 and 1039 The Ump. More sports.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialist. Your hometown pros, we support everything you love. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. What a day it was at Coleman Coliseum in Tuscaloosa Saturday as the Crimson Tide men's basketball team took down number 12 Oklahoma 80-73 in front of a sold-out crowd. The victory marked the Tide's third win this season over an AP top 25 team and its sixth win overall in the last nine contests. The Alabama defense held the Sooners to its second lowest point total of the season while limiting OU's freshman guard Trey Young to just 17 points on 6 of 17 shooting from the field. It marked the first time since the season opener that Young was held to less than 20 points. Next up for Alabama, the Crimson Tide will be at home Wednesday, taking on the Missouri Tigers back in SEC action. Tip time is set for 8. Radio coverage on the network will begin at 7. I'll have more in a moment.
There's no mistaking the signature crimson and white of Alabama football. From flags flying to the clothes we wear, our colors define our loyalty, our support, and who is in the house. And there's no mistaking when AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialists are in your house. AFS techs arrive in signature wrapped trucks and proudly wear the AFS insignia, symbolizing our support to tackle foundation, crawl space, or waterproofing issues. For a free estimate, go to AFSRepair.com.
The Alabama women's tennis team is off to its hottest start since 2009. Bama defeated Belmont and UAB yesterday. The Tide is 7-0 after blanking its fifth opponent of the season. And the men's tennis team is off to its best start since 2003 after shutting out Penn State inside the Roberta Allison Baumgartner Indoor Tennis Facility on Sunday. That's your Bama update. Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by AFS, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender.
If you could pay less, why would you pay more? Carlos at First Family helped the Myers family save more than $32,000 worth of unnecessary interest. If you're still making payments each month on a 30-year loan, you're overpaying your single biggest bill. It's not a matter of if you're overpaying, it's a matter of finding out how much. And it's free to find out right now at 425-0105. That's 425-0105.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many plans nationwide, Walgreens offers copays as low as $0 on select plans. So switching your prescriptions to Walgreens will be worth the trip. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, so you
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering six times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Hi, I'm Megan Hoffer, and welcome to Heartbeat. Have you ever said or done something that you regret? Maybe in the heat of the moment, you've lashed out at a coworker because of something relatively insignificant? The feelings of guilt that are generated by regret don't feel good. We long for ways to take back what was said or done. Author Tony Campolo once said that the past has a way of draining energy from the present. What's been done in the past, while regrettable, needs to be forgiven and forgotten. Ask for forgiveness, then move ahead in life. Put the past behind you. Campolo continued to say that the one who is the ground of all being forgives and forgets. Let your regrets go and find freedom in God. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
I'm a veteran. We hit a mine in Vietnam. When I came home, I didn't know where to turn.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
My victory's been never giving up hope. My wife is always there to remind me we have a life to live.
DAV provides a lifetime of support, helping veterans of every generation get the benefits they've earned.
I am a veteran, but after I got out, I spent 2 years alone and homeless.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans so they can reach victories great and small.
My victory was finding the support to get back on my feet. Now I'm getting things right with my family.
I finally admitted, with my PTSD, I wasn't doing well.
But there's more to be done and more victories to be won.
Now I wish I'd found DAV sooner. I am a veteran. My victory is just enjoying each day.
Help support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
The weather turning colder tonight. The sky clear, the low at 26. For tomorrow, a good supply of sunshine, the high 44. Wednesday, sunny and warmer, the high 56. Then for Thursday, the sky becoming mostly cloudy, a chance of rain by late afternoon, the high Thursday at 59. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household, the big dog, Tom Abraham.
All right. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll have open lines for you if you want to jump in. We'll run down everything, everywhere that we have been already as well. And you're not going to believe this, but the players in the Pro Bowl, they're trying to sell us that they played hard. They're trying to sell us that they're taking credit for bringing the game up to the standard of, you know, NFL football. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Have you seen the replay? I know you didn't see it live because only I am stupid enough to be watching that stuff. Plus, because I was sick, I was just a couch potato watching golf. The NHL All-Star Game and a Pro Bowl. But did you see Harrison Smith's interception return for a touchdown, T-Mac?
No, I watched National Treasure.
It was ridiculous. He just like ran down the field. Nobody even made an effort. One guy, Delanie Walker, kind of a half-hearted effort to try and tackle him. I mean, it was ridiculous. Oh, by the way, it was the highest rated thing in sports this weekend.
Why?
Because we're sick. The Pro Bowl was the most watched sporting event of the weekend.
Kind of
there you go.
It's kind of embarrassing.
They could put up the NFL shield, and it would get a 3.5. It just put the shield up there for like 3 hours, and it would get a number. Open lines when we return. 7:30, 103.9 AM.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Op. WUMP. It's now time for Time to Kill with Arky Shea.
The National Basketball Association had a huge announcement on Monday when it comes to the All-Star Game, and that announcement was the winners are going to get paid $100,000 versus last year's $50,000, and that means, apparently, more competitive basketball. $50,000 for the team that actually wins. So let me ask you this. Would you fight harder for $50,000 if you were making $13 million on average for these All-Star guys a year? Would it matter that much to you? Would you start swatting away LeBron dunk attempts in an effort to win an extra $50,000? I would. Cole Kublik would. Tom Abraham might. He's big money. But I can't see this making any sort of difference. It's $50,000. That's enough for what? 7 Kias?
Don't miss the Cube Show with Cole Kublik and Arky Shea. Weekday morning 6 to 10 a.m. only on The Ump.
Madison RV introduces you to a new way of buying with a new dealership, Southern RV Wholesale. RVs sold at direct discount prices to the public. Join the official grand opening this week on Jordan Lane in Huntsville, where we'll have hot dogs, drinks, and the best prices in town. If you're in the market for an RV, this is a must-stop for you. Madison RV will also be celebrating on its lot with grand opening savings. Southern RV Wholesale's grand opening sale this week.
NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender.
If you could pay less, why would you pay more? Carlos at First Family helped the Myers family save more than $32,000 worth of unnecessary interest. If you're still making payments each month on a 30-year loan, you're overpaying your single biggest bill. It's not a matter of if you're overpaying, it's a matter of finding out how much. And it's free to find out right now at 425-0105. That's 425-0105.
Escape into the world of fine dining with relaxing music. Luciano in Huntsville. Fine Italian dining since 1994. Featuring Chef Matt Martin's delectable fresh daily specials in addition to traditional Italian favorites. Luciano features Huntsville's only piano bar and live jazz on the weekends. Featuring Frank Sinatra and Roberta Silva, as well as many other talents. The perfect ambiance for a wonderful and unique dining experience. Luciano also provides the most beautiful room for banquets, receptions, and private meetings. Reservations are recommended for weekends and holidays. Luciano, a fine Italian restaurant located on Airport Road in Huntsville. And we like saving you money. So this Friday, get your $50 gift certificate for $25 with a sweet deal of the week. The half-price deal never tasted so good. Friday morning at 9, log on and click on the sweet deal and get a $50 gift certificate to Luciano for only $25. UmpSports.com.
The Ump. Where champions are crowned.
The 1-1.
Chopper back to the circle. Lowry's got it. Throws to first. And OU did it again. The Sooners defeat the Gators 5-4. And Oklahoma, just the ninth team in history to repeat as national champions. The Oklahoma Sooners, the champions of softball in 2017.
On Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The Ump.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet. The back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So, what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats.
Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look, and I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Talia. As the mother of two young children, I know that the March of Dimes helps all babies get a good start. That's why I'm proud to support the March for Babies. I hope you come.
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The